I've been in town east since 1986, December of 86. I am a member of this church. I know none of you, well, you know me, but I am a missionary out of this church. And we've had the privilege of serving in Puerto Montt, Chile, all the way down, bottom of the world. Then I served in Arica, Chile, 20 years. We established the Berean Baptist Church. And that's where Brother Joe went, by the way, if you guys remember. He went down there, and he held a conference, him, Brother Larry, and Brother David, and Trinity. We left that work in the hands of another man, and now we're in Tacna, Peru. That's at the very southern tip of Peru, and we're establishing the Maranatha Baptist Church. We've been there now almost a decade, 8 years to be precise, and I just want to thank you for allowing me the privilege of serving our Lord, being your hand, being your servant. I mean this with all my heart. You've been faithful. I always rely on Town East. I want to thank my dear brother. My mind is just in blank. Names. Cooper. He's like the greatest blessing I have. When we have a need, we crawl out to him, and he's right there. He's a blessing, and I want to thank him too. Before I go anywhere, this is a song my mother wrote. Probably, most of you probably know it. But I personally believe that as missionaries, we have to leave something behind. And this is my true, this is a song that I think would, I want to leave before I leave. I want to give you before I leave. What hast thou done with the life that I gave to thee? What hast thou done with the talent, the ability? What hast thou done with the word that was preached to thee? Thy brother's blood cries to me from the ground. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me, crieth unto me from the ground. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him no warning, he shall surely die. But the blood of that wicked I will require. I will surely require at thy hand. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me, crieth unto me from the ground. Go ye to all the world, my gospel to proclaim, teaching men in faith to call upon my holy name. For I want children from every language, nation, tribe, and clan. Thy brother's blood cries to me from the ground. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me, crieth unto me from the ground. Amen. Thank you for allowing me the honor and service to serve God. Without you, I could not go. I love my church. I love every member. We pray for you every day. We know that without you, what we do would be impossible. Some of you know me since the beginning, and some of you are saying, who is this guy? I want to read a portion of a chapter. It's not my message, but it's a foundational message. It's a foundational thought. It's found in Malachi chapter 1. Verse 6 till the end of the chapter. That is not my message, but I just want this as a foundation. We're talking tonight about worship. Worship. There is a fundamental, it's a requirement. God, you can't just worship God. God requires a certain way in which we worship Him. You see, we are living in a time where, well, God is just God. And yet, because I can say this, because there are certain things and evidences in our own lives. As I was talking about when I was in my Sunday school class, the reason why we're not getting our prayers answered is because we're not praying correctly. We're not praying in faith. We do not really believe in the name of Jesus. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 16 that anything you ask of my Father in my name, it will be given you. Amen. However, the problem is we do not believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Our prayers usually end in your name. I never knew who your was. I've always tried to figure out who your is. You can't call in the name of the Lord. It's the name that's above every name. Yes. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Amen. For the glory of God. You see, what I'm saying is, the word is menospreciar. We've kind of diminished the person of Jesus Christ. It's very hard. We use the name Lord. We use the name God. But brother, when it comes to Jesus, notice how hard it is to say Jesus. Because the truth of the matter is, it is the one name that the devil fears more than anything else. Is the highly exalted name of Jesus. But that's not my message. I was just saying that is what happened. Now I want to talk about worship. A son, verse 6 says, honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible.
And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 2. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And 12. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' precious name, now as we come before your presence, we're asking, Father, for your mercy. Everyone here today has come to hear you, not me. There has to be words from your presence. You know my heart. You know who I am, Father. I ask that you forgive me for anything that could have caused your word not to be given as it should tonight. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me from all sin. We ask for your blessings on the service tonight. Be glorified. Let no man glory in your presence. Help the church hear what the Spirit has to say tonight. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Whew. This morning, I loved your message. I really did. It was great. I know what it's like to be nervous. Mouth dries up. Sometimes you have to struggle just to keep your thoughts together. Amen. True worship. There are three things that are absolutely necessary for true worship. I want to talk about these three things and the natural, something that is natural. The treasures become natural when you are truly worshiping God. When I talk, I don't talk to an individual. I don't talk to a church. I talk to whomever the Spirit wants to talk to. Each one has to be judged himself. The Holy Spirit talks to the heart. Some of us are perfectly all right. Amen. Amen? Some people struggle within themselves about what God wants for them. And then some simply are asking for a word from the Lord. When it comes to true worship, I want to show you the very first absolute necessity. You cannot worship without exceeding great joy. Someone will say, well, brother, there are times in my life I don't feel exceeding great joy. I know. I have gone through that many a time. When you go into your closet, that's where you cry before the Lord. Are you with me? When you go into your place of refuge, you present your quejas, I don't even know the word, your complaints to the Lord. He wants to hear you complain to him. He wants to see your tears. Are you with me or not? That's not worship. Worship is entering into the house of God where the people of God are gathered. That's why it's almost blasphemous when you do not have a desire to come to church. Are you with me or not? Ooh, silence. I love silence. It's good. Great joy is based on one fundamental thing, and that's found in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke 10, 20. If you could memorize this verse, if you could underline it in your Bible, the basis for our joy is founded here. Notwithstanding, Jesus says to his disciples, in this rejoice not that the demons are subject. By the way, the demons are subject to you. Did you know that? Did you know that? When you come in the name of Jesus Christ, there's not a nation, there's not a government, there's not a devil that can stand up against you. Amen. Are you with me or not? And these apostles were coming out and said, look, even the devils are subjected to us. Jesus says, well, I saw Satan fall like a lightning out of heaven. But he said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. But that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in the book of life. My dear brother preached this morning Sunday school. Restore unto me the joy of what? My salvation. David couldn't worship because there was sorrow, pain, and shame in his life. Are you with me or not? You see, when we walk through those doors, we enter through those doors. Let's go to Psalm 100. These very needful message. In Psalm 100, first of all, just look at 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory from the among the heathen, his wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Notice the worship of this psalmist. As he comes in, he's lauding his Lord. He's praising him. Make a joyful noise. You can read each one of these psalms. But it says, make a joyful noise. Verse 100, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations. Do you have eternal life? You see, what brings sorrow is the lack of knowledge. What is a lack of knowledge? That I am his. The truth of the matter is, for example, where there's fear, there's an absence of faith. Did not Jesus say that over and over again? Fear not. Fear not. Read how many times he used the expression fear not. And you'll find that it was on the basis of them not trusting in God, trusting in their Lord. The idea of joy is that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. So this sorrow will pass But I have everlasting life. Even if they cut my head off, I have everlasting life. Even if I lost my job, if someone dies, I have everlasting life. Amen. The foundation is my position. I have everlasting life. That's why we come to church with great joy. We don't joy in all the things, the great blessings that we have. And I praise the Lord when we have blessings. We don't joy in this earth because this earth passes away and all the things that are in. You're not going to live forever. Thank goodness. This body is ready to go. The older you get, the more you long for your new body. But see, it doesn't matter. The great joy is the fact that he has written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne judgment, verse 11, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, not the living. Thank goodness, eh? Are you alive today? Do you have life? This is not for you, but I want to show you a verse. It said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is there a reason to rejoice in the Lord tonight? Is there no reason to come into his house with thanksgiving in your heart, with joy unspeakable and full of glory? See, I don't think there's anything worse than when people come through the door and the only thing they bring with them is great sorrow. If you only knew how hard it's been. Oh, if only you would. Hey, that does not bring joy to the heart of the church. Amen? But when they walk in and they rejoice and they're happy, they're not thinking of the great blessings they got, their good job and their money. They're thinking of only one thing. My name is written in the book of life. How are you feeling, Brother Rose? Saved. Amen. You must enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You cannot worship our God without entering with joy in your heart. Go to the second one, Matthew chapter 2. You'll find a second thing. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. Second one is the correct posture. And fell down. God despises arrogance. Amen. God despises any kind of any kind of position that puts you above anyone else. You're not important. God, Christ, is important. Are you listening to me? He's the only one that will be magnified in the church. But as we come into his presence, Bible says this, and Peter, let's go to 1 Peter. Well, let's just go to James first. James chapter 4, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Whew. I have seen this in my lifetime. But where they come from? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You cannot dance with the devil and worship God. Are you with me or not? It's factually impossible. I use this expression all the time from my pulpit there in Peru. The cross of hypocrisy gets heavier and heavier and heavier till you're going to find that eventually the hypocrite is no longer alive. He's crushed. You don't find him in the church. You don't find him anywhere. And when you go to visit him, he says, "Nah, it's just that I find too many hypocrites in the church." Have you heard that one before? Huh? Have you heard that one before? Well, I will say this. There are a lot of hypocrites in the church. But there are a lot more hypocrites in the world. I mean, let's be honest. What you're doing is joining your banner with the hypocrites of the world instead of putting your banner with those that want to live right with Christ. You're being a hypocrite. You're trying to tell everybody that you're righteous. You're trying to tell everybody, but the truth of the matter is, you know in your heart there's something wrong with you. You have a love affair with the world. The Bible says there are four terrains. Remember the hard ground? Remember the hard ground? Then you have the rocks. Remember those rocks? See, the rocks are the people that they get angry at somebody, or they have a little trial or tribulation in life, and they say, "Oh, this is no good. I'm going to get out of here." Other ones, man, get after the gold, the money, the works, and they say, "You know what? I can't go to church because I'm busy. I'm working." Remember those? They sprout real quick, but then they die quickly. Only the true, the worked ground is the one that's going to produce. The Bible says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" You know what that means? He is jealous. The Spirit of God is jealous. "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts." In the book of 1 Peter, we have the same thing. "Likewise, ye younger," verse 5, "submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with" what? Humility. "Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he does care for you." See, when they came in, we fall down before him. I want to read a verse that has been very important to me. It's the book of Colossians, chapter 3. The Lord spoke to me. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead." What do you mean dead? For this world, we have died. We're no longer living in this world. We're in Christ. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We must consider ourselves, like Paul said, dead. Amen? This world should not have any attraction to you. Because as 1 John says, the world is going to pass away. "And all love not the world, neither things in the world." If you remember these texts, I hope you do. These are very famous texts. "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. For the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will pass away. But he that doeth the will of God, this one abideth." I'm translating straight from English, Spanish to English, so sorry about that. It says right here, "When Christ, your life," who is our life? "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then, only then, shall ye appear with him in glory. You want a glory? Wait till Christ appears. And I guarantee you, when he appears, we all will glory. Amen? Amen. That is our portion. We're not to stand in any area of praise. When we walk into his presence, we're to fall down at his feet. We are nothing. He is all things. Are you with me? This is the attitude. You cannot worship God at first if you don't have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Our joy is based on the fact that God was merciful. He extended his grace. He put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He died on Calvary. That was a great message that Brother Russell preached on his cross, if you remember. Boy, I mean, it brought all of us to tears. But he did that for you. Should you not be thankful? Should you not be with the attitude of gratitude and joy that he did that and he wrote your name and that now you are going to go forever to be with him? It doesn't matter what happens in this world. Give yourself to abandonment and let God take care of it. Amen. He can do a lot better job than you ever did. I promise you that. He is all. He's good. And the final thing that we need to know. The Bible says here, they fell down and worshiped him. Not them. You see, it is he who we worship. Are you with me or not? He it is that we worship. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. Like Thomas, when he fell down, he said, my God, my Lord and my God. When you know him, when you truly and focus your life on him, you'll find that he is worthy of all worship. Problem is, in our churches, we tend to worship ourselves sometimes. Or we worship the pastor. Or we worship the singer. Or we worship the building. You know what I'm trying to say? Sometimes we have dual worship. Sometimes we have other things that we worship. The truth of the matter is, until we become singly focused on the person of Jesus Christ, we're never going to truly worship him. And this is the important. Now I'm going to show you how you know you are worshiping him. You see what amazes me? I have determined in my life, even though I'm a failure, I'm a sinner sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But I determined in my life that every time I come to the church of my Lord Jesus Christ, I bring something in my hand. What are you doing? Is he not worthy of your offerings? I'm sorry, but that's just the truth. I hate being a boy. You don't know my economic situation. I know your economic situation. You're the same economic situation that I'm in. I'm poor. I am totally poor. But you know what? I can always find a $5, a $10 bill to put in that offering plate because I'm not going to come to church and have nothing to present. I don't know if you remember a woman named Sheba, the Queen of Sheba. Do you remember that woman?
Yes.
She came to Solomon. Now, wasn't he the richest man in all the world? But the Queen of Sheba came for a purpose. What did she come for? To inquire. Do you remember that? She came to inquire, but she did not come with her empty hands. And by the way, in the Old Testament, when you came to present yourself to the king, you always brought something in your hand. It's honorable. It's what God demands. It's what he did. Did we not just read it? The problem is we retain. Our hearts, our lives, our treasures are not open to him. And I'm going to show you this, that the sequence is not an error. They're a perfectly good sequence. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You cannot give one without the other. But you cannot and you never will give the last without giving the first. Are you with me or not? The gold represents the power of your life. That which sustains you, whether it's your job, your money, whatever it is that is the power of your life, it is absolute. If you're truly worshiping him, what do? We open our treasure. Our treasures is not wealth. Our treasure is something that has great value to me. Are you with me or not? Lord, this is very mine. This is mine. I hold it. It's mine. God said, give it to me. Are you willing to give? That's why he said they opened their treasures. And add their treasures and presented unto him. Are you with me or not? Come on. This is very important that you understand how massive this is. The reason why we don't have success in our lives, our marriages, in our churches is because we're retaining that which belongs to God. We must learn to say, Lord, it's yours. It is required, that's in English, what's in English? That steward, thank you, brother. That's all you are is a steward. Why? Because when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he took everything from you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's salvation is free. No, it cost everything. Your life, everything. You become a steward. Are you with me? That means that you are required now by God to what? To deal financially with the things of your life. And according to the wisdom of God. In other words, God says, I want this, I want that. I don't know if you guys ever read Malachi, but where does the curse come? I want to take you to a book named Haggai. This is my favorite. I like Malachi, but Haggai is my favorite. Name Habakkuk, Haggai. Oh my. It's 7:30. 7:15. You still got a little bit of time. Thus speaketh, verse 2, the Lord of hosts saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about it for just a minute. We need to ponder the paths that we're walking. Once again, he's a great God. He's a great king. His name is to be reverenced. Didn't he say that already? But as we look at our own lives and we look at our attitudes towards God, naturally what we're saying is that the word of God is contemptible. And we're not interested in it. We're not going to obey it. We're going to do what we want. God has got to come down to my level if he wants me to worship him. Do you think God will do that? Do you really think God will do that? Will God come down to your level? I'm going to tell you this right now. No, he will not. He demands your worship. It's not something that he suggests. It's not something that he asks for. He demands it from his children. Okay? The world one day will worship him. They say every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord for the glory of the Father. But to his children, he demands worship. For who? For the nations to see that our God is a great God. Read Isaiah 43. Boy, I wish I could just go verse after verse. I can't. But he says, you have sown much and bring in little. You work so hard, and yet you're getting nowhere. And not only that, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages and to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He says, think about that.
Yeah.
Go over in your mind where you're failing him. Because, see, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, aren't you glad that I'm leaving? Aren't you glad I'm leaving? Because, you see, these things, words hurt. The truth of the matter is they do. Especially when times in my life, I'm just simply trying to get by. Christian, you're a child of God. You should not be just getting by. You should be soaring on wings of eagles. Your life should be a success. Why are you groveling? Well, wait a minute. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the... Do you really believe this? See, what I'm getting at is this. The truth of the matter is, the modern age Christian does not know his father very well. The modern age Christian allows others to tell him what God says rather than seeking God's word for himself. Are you with me or not? I appreciate whenever I can argue with people the Bible, but what's shocking me so much is that the majority of the Christians don't know the Bible. Now, how are you going to commune with God? How is God going to talk to you if you don't eat? If you don't study? If you don't read his Bible? You know, people say, well, I study it. Well, why don't you just read it for a while? Really, read it. It'll blow your mind the things that God has to tell you. I have the great joy because I'm a missionary and I'm a preacher. And thank goodness I don't have to go to work. Amen. I know some of you have to work. But I've had the privilege of memorizing the entire book of Hebrews. But that's not the only book I memorized. Well, I've memorized all kinds of books in the Bible. Why? Because it's a beautiful book. It is food for my soul. And one thing I can tell you, God has never let me down. Never. Whenever Brother Riggs was preaching the other day in John 15, I don't know if you remember, just recently he's preaching John 15. Well, there was a verse down there that says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you may and it will be given. You know what God, you know what Amy did? She went right down there and said, God, I want this, this, and this. And plus a lot of other things. Did God answer immediately? Boom. You know why? Because God's promises are yea and amen. The reason why we don't get what we want is because we're double-minded. We're unstable. Now, the treasuries of gold is the absolute first step. It just simply means that now everything that I own belongs to him. I now put myself in the place of a faithful steward. Oh, I hope. But you're not going to be giving the incense, because the incense is where you get on your face before God and you pray to him. You know why you're praying? Because you need him. He now is in control of all your life. Don't you think that there's times that you have to get on your face and say, God, here I am. I need. Have you ever done that? I'm telling you why you're not praying. Because you have no need. You have control of all your goods. You got your money. You know what you're going to do tomorrow. You know you're going to go to work, get your paycheck. I mean, you got control of it. Give it to God. Start trying him in the, what is it, tithes and offerings. Whew, but brother, you don't understand. If I start tithing, I'll not have any money left over. No. There was a woman that came to Paul. Paul was, my brother Paul, he's a missionary in Peru. And she came out and threw a paper down in front of him. Here. That is all I get, and that's what I have to pay. So, okay. That's all you're going to get. She said, okay, but on your word, I'm going to start tithing, but I'm going to show you. A year later, she came screaming, hollering, laughing, and how God had blessed her. You see, You may be on a fixed income, but God is not on a fixed income. Are you with me or not? The reason you don't have is because you don't ask. And when you ask amiss. You understand what I'm saying? The second area, the second treasury, is a place that God appreciates more than anything else is when his children pray. Do you know that is a treasure for God? In your time, is it not treasured? Brother, this is my time. I don't have time for this. Hey, God wants that. He wants your time. He wants you to present yourself to him. He wants you to say, Lord, I need you. I need you so bad. You know, God loves it when his children pray. I want to take you over to 1 Peter. I'm almost done, by the way. So are you happy? 1 Peter. All right. I lost it just a minute. I'm in 1 Peter. That's right. Okay. Well, you have to look it up. I can't find it. The devil is hidden it from me. But it says, you know, that God's ears are listening for the prayers of his saints. I don't know where it's at. I'd lost it. I know it's in 1 Peter, so. If you find it, let me know. Third point. The third point is the myrrh. Thank you. Read it.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers.
Amen. Thank you. See? He wants to hear them. But you see, sometimes he goes by your house and he doesn't hear a thing. And he goes months without hearing from you. You see what I'm saying? How important it is? We need to make that an exercise in our lives, because I'm telling you, this third one, which is the greatest treasure of all, it will never be given to the Lord until we begin praying. And we're not going to begin praying until we open this first treasure box, which is our power. You understand what I'm saying? Because myrrh is sacrifice and service. Have you ever heard anyone serving God without prayer? Have you? You're not going to serve God if you're not powered by the Spirit, because that is what plugs us into the power from heaven. All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore go. But how do I get that power? On your knees before God. I'm telling you, you don't come to church as a preacher. I don't think a pastor that really cares about his people will come to church without at least praying. There in Peru, every time all the men gather 30 minutes before the service, and they all gather on the altar and they all pray. What are you praying for? God, anoint my pastor. God, give him power. We're here because we need you to talk to us. But sometimes the pastor is weak. You know that. Who doesn't get weak sometime? Who doesn't get sick sometime? Who doesn't get flustered sometime? So we need the power of the Spirit to calm our pastor and say, oh, Lord, here's our pastor sitting before you. We ask that you would give him peace, that you would give him clarity of thoughts, that he would bring the word. It's amazing how we don't even pray for our pastor today, do you know what I'm saying? Maybe on Wednesday nights we mention it up here, but, you know, do you really pray for your pastor? Do you know that he has weaknesses too? I mean, he does. I beat him in two games of pool, so I know he has weaknesses. What I'm saying is, when you serve, the most important thing you could ever do is pray. But you know why you're not praying? You know why you're not serving? It's because you have no power. And the reason you don't have no power is because you're not praying. The reason why you're not praying is that your treasure chest is still closed. And the reason that treasure chest is closed, because you don't know how to worship him. Worship is the key ingredient. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and joy, because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Be thankful. Father, in Jesus' name, as we come before your presence, the message has been given. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for allowing me this time to say goodbye to this beautiful church. How this church has gone through ups and downs. Father, the age has gotten us, years have gone by, but this church still stands firm, still here. And there are some precious saints here that are still serving, still worshiping in this place. But I know, Father, there are some here that have been struggling with their Christian life. Some have been just drifting. Some have been just getting by with whatever they need to get by with. But, Father, tonight I ask that you would place in their heart to come down and open that first treasure box to say, here, Lord, all that's mine, make me a faithful servant. I don't know who tonight truly is saved. The pastor does it all the time. He says, if there's anybody here, let me raise your hands. But tonight I'm going to ask you for another thing. Is there anybody here that says, Lord, Pastor, Brother Rose, I am a pastor in Peru. Brother Rose, the truth of the matter is that message did touch me in some way. I'm not guilty of all things, but I am guilty of some things. Tonight I would like to get that straightened out with the Lord. If that's your case, just come to the altar. Just get right. You don't need to tell me what's wrong with you. But if we get up and sing, when we get up to sing, don't hold back. The Lord knows your heart. He wants you to be a success. He wants your life to be a shining example of what it is to be a true Christian. The time is coming to an end. Our Lord's coming. Are you ready? Really ready? Have you been serving him as you should? Have you been praying with fervency as you should? Have you been giving as you should? Are you worshiping him as you should? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, come near to God and he'll come near to us. He's always kept the door open for you. He hasn't closed it yet. Come and just get this right with God. Father, the message has been preached. I hold this in your hands in Jesus' name.